All right. ¡Feliz Año Nuevo! ¡Bienvenidos a todos! All right. Vamos. It is great to be in a new year, and we'll be starting a new Bible study today, and you can start opening your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Al already got into the passage, and we're going to dive a little deeper and continue to talk and refer to this passage for the next several weeks. It's jam-packed, full of meaning and inspiration. And what we're going to do is talk about something new over the next several weeks, and I'll give you a little preview on some of the categories of newness that we will be covering. And they're on the screen here. We'll talk about being in a new year today, having a new body. That'll be a fun one, right? We'll talk about having a new mind. We'll talk about new news. Seems redundant. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about a new city. So I'm excited to jump into all that with you. And starting here in Isaiah chapter 43. And I'll start reading in verse 18 out of the New Living. And then we'll come back in verse 19 in a minute. I want to set this up a little bit before we read this. And so just reminisce, think about, ponder, meditate this idea. Jump back in time about 3,000 years. Can you do that? What would you be wearing? How would you get ready in the morning? Okay? Try to consider sort of a primitive time. So 3,000 years ago, Israel has really had its ups and downs over time. And they're sometimes on top and they're sometimes on bottom as a nation. Sometimes sometimes they got money and sometimes they got status and sometimes they got property. And then sometimes they are broke and they are on the bottom. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You ever feel like that in your own life? With 2017 like that, you were like, in March, I had money, and in April, I was broke. Okay, so whatever, you can relate to Israel and all the ups and downs. And Isaiah is preaching to the people here. And this is what God says. And leading up to the passage that we're going to read, he's saying things like, remember the Exodus. All right? So imagine you're there, you're part of the nation of Israel, you're hearing this prophet Isaiah speak. Remember the Exodus. Remember when I freed you from the slavery in Egypt. Okay? Remember back. Remember you were in bondage. You were in chains. You were building. You were under oppression. You had no rights. You were oppressed. Okay? Remember that time. And I took you out of all that. And then he says, remember like the 10 plagues. Remember those? You've heard the stories, right? You remember the 10 plagues. Wow, just the ravishing of Egypt and the things that happened because Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. And God is reminding them of the Exodus, reminding them of hiking out of Egypt and into the desert with all their stuff and no one chasing them. And then he says, and also remember when you did get chased. Remember when they started chasing, but then I showed up in a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. Remember that? He's saying, remember that. Remember then how I parted the Red Sea for you. How I waited till the 11th hour and you were sure you were going to die and the army was bearing down on you. And then I parted the Red Sea for you to clear out a couple of million of you so that you could escape their wrath again. So you guys with me here? Remember these amazing things that I did for you. So what does Isaiah say after saying all this, after being God's spokesman and reminding the people of all the things that he's delivered them from? What's the first thing he says? Forget all that. Can I get a Brooklyn forget about it from the crowd right here? Come on, a little bit more Brooklyn. Come on. Thank you. Forget about it. Not only forget all that, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. That's a lot. All that stuff you delivered us from, freedom from slavery and the 10 plagues and the parting, all of that, that's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? And everyone's going, wait, what did I miss? See what? Forget all of that. You know, the first time that I saw the movie, the Disney's animated film Moana, I thought about this passage. Because isn't that what all of you thought when you saw the movie? No? There's a, they call him a demigod, Maui, an animated little cartoon demigod who has some little power, limited powers, and he's voiced by none other than Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Yes, absolutely. The Rock is awesome. And anyway, it reminded me of this song that he sings called You're Welcome. And I want to just show you a clip from that right now for those that haven't seen, and for those that have, to remind you.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What? No, no, no. I wasn't, why would I ever say that?
I see what's happening, yeah. You're face to face with greatness and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky? When you were waddling yay high, this guy. When the nights got cold, who stole you fire from down below? You're looking at him, yo. Oh, also I lassoed the sun. You're welcome to stretch your days and bring you fun. Also I harness the breeze. You're welcome to fill your sails and shake your trees. So what can I say except you're welcome? For the islands I pull from the sea. There's no need to pray, it's okay. You're welcome. Ah, I guess it's just my way of being me. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Of course, right? It's a fun film and a fun song. And I thought about the scripture when I saw this movie, because I'm like, it's not like the same arrogance, of course, with this little demigod. But it's like, yeah, 10 plagues, forget about it. It was like, you know, pillar of fire, smoke, nada, you know. 100-foot high cliffs of Red Sea water, raised up, parted, dry land so you could walk through. No big deal. It's just my way of being me, I guess. That's just me. Forget all that. This is God saying you're welcome. You know what I mean? And here he said, and I just love the perspective, because he goes, that was nothing compared to what I'm about to do. So let's get to it. What's the big news? What's the what I'm about to do? You guys ready? All right. This is the big punchline. Here we go. Isaiah 43:19, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. What? I was waiting for something bigger. Like, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal. I'm thinking bigger than the Exodus. I'm thinking bigger than freedom of oppression. Being tortured and told that you have no rights, no voice, no nothing. I'm thinking parting the Red Sea, and it's like you're going to carve out a canal? That's like the best thing? That's like better? Anyone with me on the confusion here? Like, where's the bigness? So, Bible study, right?
Yeah.
So we dig a little deeper. This is a reference to a couple of things, actually. It's a reference to creation and a reference to a curse. It's a reference to creation and a reference to a curse. You can double check this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But basically, remember, the original creation was this lush, green, waterway, wonderland, paradise for Adam and Eve, right? And then sin got them kicked out. And there's this sort of tension between experiencing growth and maturity and newness, and then this sort of dry wasteland being separated from God. Later, God's people cycled back into disobedience again. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse 24, it says, the Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. This is one of the curses. And it will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. And so there's this real extreme opposite visuals, right? On the one hand is this sort of dirt, dry, nothing grows there. I'm separated from God. I'm not doing well. I'm stuck. And over here is it's lush paradise. I'm growing. I'm maturing. Things always feel new. And sometimes we can bounce back and forth between those things, the creation and the curse. Desert wasteland is a sign of spiritually of being lost, all right? Spiritually lost. Faith is dried up, no salvation, whereas the water and the rivers are a sign of salvation, that you're nourished, that you're a tree planted by a stream, that God is filling you up with your substance and your identity. So what does God do in Isaiah 43 that's so cool? Well, he promises them rivers again. They have been living in a time of a curse. Things have been dried up. There was no salvation. There was no redemption. There was only prophecy of dry, faithless wasteland. And God says, guess what? I'm bringing rivers again. I'm going to dig a canal for you. So to us, it's like no big whoop. For them, it's like, what? This is the symbol that we've been waiting for. Salvation will come to us again. He says, I got a plan to redeem you from all of your sins. That none of this once a year for atonement nonsense. I got a plan for all eternity. No more guilt, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more regret, no more death. You're welcome. So this is the plan he lays out 3,000, almost 3,000 years ago. And I want to follow me here into this Bible study because this lays out this plan that we have to dig a little bit to understand. But once we get the full picture, you're going to get excited, I promise. All right, here we go. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. So a little bit down the road here in Isaiah, he continues to prophesy. Look at the language and the similarities in these three prophets and what they're saying is going to happen. Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Joel. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. In Ezekiel 39:29, similar. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. And then the final one in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Do you see what's happening here? I see what's happening here. God is laying out a plan. Now, in the moment, they were like, okay, cool. Salvation, water, canals, where is it? He goes, well, you're going to have to wait. Took a long time to get here. It's going to take a little while to get out. And so a few hundred years later, he sends the key that unlocks the door. His name is Jesus. The message comes to the earth. And then something amazing happens as he starts to build up this group. And you can see it in Acts chapter 2. See if any of the language sounds familiar. Then Peter stood up. This is the day of Pentecost, about 50 days after Jesus had died. They're in the upper room. They're scared. The disciples don't know what to do. It should be a new leaf, a new year, a new you. And they're like, I'm scared. He's gone. What do we do? So they start praying. And they're praying in private. They're praying in secret. They're scared what the authorities might do. They're scared they're going to be killed for their message, just like their mentor was. And then Peter, he stands up. Raise his voice. They get out in public. He addresses the huge thousands of people crowd. Some estimate maybe 10,000. We're staying in the small little area of Jerusalem, in old Jerusalem, on top of each other, cousins coming in from all over the place. And he stands up in the middle of all that and says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit. Here's the language on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. It took about 750 years, but it lands. What happens? Water, garden, growth, maturity, newness is prophesied, but they live in a desert wasteland. It's hard to connect with God. They're bound by the law, trying to do what they can, limited by their sinfulness. And then Jesus comes, lays out the plan of redemption, and then the church is born. The genesis of the church, we're seeing it right here unfold in Acts chapter 2. See, the language in the Jewish mind was the same. You start hearing about canals and rivers, and you are waiting to see what salvation looks like. You hear about, I will pour my spirit out, and you start seeing it happen and all the crazy things that happen in Acts 2, and they see, this is finally happening. And God says, you're welcome. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 through 41, it's a familiar passage to many of us. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. Peter preaches a big sermon, a lot of people listening, thousands trying to make a decision on what he's saying. He says, God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That would have been interesting to travel over from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, visiting your cousin, celebrating Pentecost. You traveled weeks just to arrive. You're looking forward to the newness of the year and celebrating the harvest and hanging out with your cousins who you haven't seen maybe in a year. And you show up and this crazy dude stands up, speaks in your language and says, no, we're not drunk. In fact, you killed a man. How would you feel if someone accused you of murder? And you weren't even close to the situation. In fact, you didn't even know the guy. You're like, this guy is crazy. I'm not guilty of what you're talking about. It's insane. But that doesn't stop Peter, and it doesn't stop them, because they make the connection. They take responsibility. They know the passages. They're ringing in their ears. We have sinned against God. God sent Jesus, his son, and our sin put him on the cross. So what do they say? Do they say, you're nuts, get out of here? Do they throw stones at him? Do they say, that's ridiculous, won't hold up in court? When the people heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? That's a humble statement, right? When you're trying to help someone out, you're like, you have this little, it's a piece of something on your shoulder right there. And it's hard for you to see because it's kind of in your blind spot. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? I don't see it. No, just let me help you out. There's something right there. Let me just grab it real quick. No, I'm fine. I'm good. You ever have that happen? You say, let me help you. I'm trying to help you, not mess with you. All right, fine. What should I do? That's when the humility comes in, right? It's like, okay, fine. Help me. Help me figure this out. Have you ever tried to do something on your own? You can't do it. And you struggle to ask for help. Why? Pride. I don't want to ask for help. I can do it on my own. I'll figure it out. I don't know the first thing about automobiles, but this thing's broken and I'm going to fix it. There's a part there and a part there. It's like Lego. I'm going to figure it out. No, you're going to make it worse. You're lost. You're lost. You took the wrong train. You don't know where you're at. You're new to New York. You got to go to the class with the bakers on Wednesday. Take some humility to say, can you help me? You know, the cool thing about New York, and we lived in L.A. for a long time, moved to New York. One of the comparisons that I noticed is that people in New York are extremely eager to help people. Like, even in a scary way. It's like, awesome. Now, not everyone's clapping. Maybe that's not been your experience. In my 8 years here, I have seen people ready to go. If you're sitting on a train, I've heard this happen. Sitting on the C train, and someone's looking at the map like, probably a tourist. If you're here on, okay, amen, we'll help you. And then all the empathetic New Yorkers are just watching. Every now and then a New Yorker will say, do you need help trying to fit? And that's awesome. But every now and then someone will look and go, can you help me? And they're ready. They've already seen where they're kind of like trying to go. You're trying to go to Brooklyn, you got to transfer at West 4th. It's pretty easy. Just get off the platform, go to the other side, wait till they come. You're good to go. There's even little signs that say 2 minutes arriving. You're set. Forget about it. You're welcome. That's New York. That's New York. Brothers, what shall we do? Your marriage is struggling. It's time to ask. What should I do? Your faith is low. It's time to ask, brothers, sisters, what should I do? I'm in a rut. I'm stuck. 2017, there's all these little emojis and little, gifts and things like stamping on 2017, you know, throwing 2017 in the trap. People love that, right? You might have had a good 2017, but then you're like, yeah, there was bad stuff. And then, you know, you do the same thing with 2018. Right now, you love 2018 because it hasn't happened yet. You get to the end, it's trash. 19, I love 19. I'm low. Brothers, what should I do? And I can't figure this thing out. I got a conflict I can't resolve. Brother, sister, what should I do? Let's imitate our first century wannabe disciple brothers and sisters that were in this moment. And what did Peter say? He had an answer. It's in Scripture. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All those promises floating around for generations have landed. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Don't you love picking tickets up at will call? Your ticket is waiting for you. See, this promise, it was good for them. It was good for future generations. It was good for people far off in other in geographic locations. It's good for everyone. The Lord our God will call. This is a prescription for salvation from then to the end of eternity. Anyone can access it. Your ticket's got your name on it. It's waiting, but you have to go and get it. And when you get it, you got to hang on to it. You got to make your election sure. Ain't no frozen chosen. Now, you're frozen 6 degrees outside right now. I know you feel like frozen chosen, but you got to make your election sure. With many other words, some good Bible study, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Lord knows it's corrupt. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. No accident, there was water. God made a canal for some baptisms. So maybe when you read again in Isaiah chapter 43, this is the pathway through the wilderness. Rivers in the dry wasteland. It means something new to you. Say, I get it now. My new life. The descendants of Israel in Isaiah's time finally get to reap the great benefit of the curse reversed. So yeah, some of us did have a hard year in 2017. The water stopped. There wasn't fruit. There was disappointment. We had a chance to review last Wednesday's service, write some things down anonymously on some cards just about how we felt about 2018 and then also looking forward to 2018. And for me as a minister, as a servant of the church, it's very important for me to get a pulse of the church, and it was a great window into some of the pain that some of you had gone through in 2017. I want to reassure you that God never left your side. He was there, felt it with you, as Jesus cried, as Martha and Mary cried for their brother. Even though he knew he would raise him from the dead, he cried with them. And I believe God sheds tears with you as you go through loss and grief and the pain and the trauma of your 2017. But I also think he wants to bless. He wants to plant. He wants to grow seeds in your heart. He wants to water you, grow you. He wants you to feel like you're in paradise. But that's an inside-out feeling, because this ain't paradise. I'm not talking about the Time Center, because this is as close as I'm going to get. I love this place. But you know what I mean. You are a deer panting for water, and only he can quench your thirst. You're a tree planted by a stream. God says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland of our hearts. He said, I can and I will resurrect your faith. I will revive your dried up marriage. I will reconcile your conflicts. I will heal your wounds. This is great news. This is the greatest news. You know, we had an amazing workshop for our small group leaders yesterday on the West Side. And this group, I just applaud them. I'm so impressed by those that they're amazing disciples, followers of Jesus. Some have been around a couple years. Some have been around 3 decades. They sacrifice. They serve. They love. They care. I just really want to actually just, if anyone who serves as a small group leader right now could just stand, I just want to say thank you for the way that you serve. I know you don't want to. I know you're so humble, but please stand. We want to recognize. Thank you. Many of you have also served in the past. Thank you so much for your service and your sacrifice. So we were having our time together, and we played a little scavenger hunt game. And it was so fun that it could have easily taken up the whole time we had together. But we had to stop at some point and, like, eat food and stuff. But I want to bring a little bit of what we did here today. And we shared this stuff publicly, and we're just going to throw it out there and have a little fun. So basically, the way the game works is that we wrote down little clues on a little piece of paper, like how and where and why we became Christians. And all we had were those little clues, and we had to try to guess who they were in the room. All right, you want to play?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to show you. And I have a little apple covering their name, so we'll reveal in a minute. Now, I'm going to give you, there's a little bit up there that you can kind of read. I'm going to give you a little bit more of the story. This is, what this person wrote was, March 1, 2001, Boston, Massachusetts, at the beach because I didn't fit into the tub getting baptized. And because, why? Because I couldn't just accept that Jesus suffered so much for me and do nothing about it. All right, so those were the clues. And I'll give you a little bit more. I'll tell you, it's a woman, and this woman had a friend that was invited to a Bible talk, a small Bible discussion that we do in the church and up in Boston or in the Massachusetts area. And the friend didn't want to go, but she was like, "Let's go." So she basically convinced him to go, even though she wasn't invited. And so they both went, and then he was sick of it after 5 minutes, so he left and she stayed. So she's sitting there at the Bible discussion. She eventually studied the Bible, became a Christian. Now she's married, has two amazing boys, and helps lead our children ministry. Who is it?
Gloria.
Gloria, right? Pretty awesome, right? You guys knew that one. All right, here's another one. Not many clues here. Not many clues. All you got is October 3rd, 89, Coney Island, Brooklyn, invited by a girl. So we were like, wait, does that mean it's a guy? I guess so. I guess it's a guy talking. So this guy, and basically in his words, this guy was hollered at by a girl. And but at the time, I'm giving more clues. At the time, he wasn't interested in her because he was with someone else. Okay. But later they broke up. And so he tried to go back and holler at the girl that hollered at him. But in that time in between, she had become a Christian. So God came hollering for him. All right. He came to church, studied the Bible, made Jesus Lord, baptized, been a disciple for almost 3 decades, and drops amazing Bible knowledge on us often. You know who that is? Oh, now the leaders that were there yesterday are not allowed to answer, okay? You guys are showing off. You're like, oh, I know who it is. Okay, no, no. Yes, it's Alfredo. Give it up. All right. All right. All right. Okay. These are good. All right. This woman is on a crowded Amtrak. All right. Kind of summarize here. And she's on her way into the city, and there's only one seat left, and she's going to take it, but it's kind of by this young guy. And so she's like, I don't really, she's kind of annoyed already, right? So she sat down and basically had the newspaper, and maybe she felt like he was going to try to talk to her. So she goes with the paper like this. And so, you know, basically he's over there and she's like, yeah, uh-huh, right? So she got the paper. And then like as the minutes rolled by, she felt like a little bit selfish and bad. And she's like, all right, I should probably say something. I feel a little bit rude. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what are you? And she's like thinking of what to say. And on the front page of the paper at that time was the whole story of, I'm blanking on the name. Oh, Tammy Faye Baker. I was like this church scandal, right? And so she's like, oh yeah, what do you think of this church scandal? Are you like a churchgoer or whatever? And he's like, he's a disciple from Rhode Island or New York or something. He goes, I love church. Let me tell you about church. Starts talking to her all about his relationship with God and church. Invites her to come. She comes to church and she studies the Bible, becomes a Christian. She's your sister in Christ. She's also the director of an investment firm in New York. She's on our New York City Church of Christ board. And she's one of the kindest, most trustworthy people that I know. Do you know who this is? Yeah, Sherry, you guys know. She writes, the answer for why, she writes the cross. Even if I was the only one on earth, Jesus would have done it. All right, let me give you two more. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready to play? Okay. All right, next one. This person was an atheist. Okay. One day someone started chatting with them in the gym locker room. But there was something about how real and down to earth they were that attracted them to this person. And that turned into more conversations and coffees and Bible study and then church. And this person is probably one of the last people you would think is an atheist. Anyone want to guess? That is Leslie Thompson. Awesome. I love it. All right, one more. All right, one more. Okay, this person. This person was, okay. It was, we had to like double check. So wait, let me get this straight. You were praying for God to reveal truth to you. That was the prayer. On their own, in their own heart, that was the prayer. Then this person overhears a woman at work talking to their boss about their church. Okay, other conversation, eavesdropping, stalking, someone else conversation. This person goes up to her and asks, can I come to church with you? It's a fish jumping in the boat. No one reached out to this person. God and the Holy Spirit did the work. Do you know who this is? You need more clues. Ooh. Well, he does a lot of things. Forget about it. I mean, this guy. I don't want to give too much away. Does Christmas 1992 in New York. Not Steve. No. Keep going. Irving! If you're visiting with us today and you like don't know anyone, I'm sorry. You're probably thinking though, wow, these people actually know each other. It's kind of crazy. That's how we do it in the church. See, God is doing something new. The good news of changed lives never gets old. You say, how can something old be new? Well, we just did it. It's new all over again. It's new every morning. Salvation, the promises of God. We wake up to a God, a good creator God, every morning of our lives. It's new every morning. Life is new. Experiences are new. Every day that we get older, the Bible has something new to tell us. You might be reading the same verse, but you're different than you were yesterday, hopefully better. And God speaks to you. The Bible is living and active. This is new every day. See, God is doing his part. He's pouring out his Holy Spirit. He's making rivers in the dry wasteland. The question is, are you part of that plan? He's making something new, but what about you? We got to be on board with him. We got to work together with God. Some of us are feeling dried up, burnt out, faithless, stuck. People are passing by us. They're all happy and joyful, and you're annoyed because they're singing too loud. When you're in a bad place, someone's doing something good, and the more they enjoy themselves, the worse you are, right? It like reminds you that you're in a bad spot, and you want people to be in a bad spot with you. That's how you get. Or maybe I'm just talking about myself. See, we're happy 2017 is gone, but we have to have a plan to make 2018 better. God has one. And I'll put it like this. The something new has got to be you. The something new is you. Your heart's got to change. We got to grow. We've grown a lot. Amen. Let's grow some more. You had a stuck year? Amen. Let's grow. Let's get unstuck together. Brother, sister, what should I do? Jump on board. Dive in. God is doing something new. Some of us experienced newness a while ago. You experience some of the cards on the board that happened a while ago. And it doesn't feel new anymore. And so you read scriptures like the Bible says we're a new creation, but we feel more like an old crustacean than a new creation. It's a little bit like the Israelites, manna from heaven. Like, amazing food falls from the sky. God, you're amazing. I was starving and you dropped a burger in my lap or whatever. Manna is probably some kind of nice bread. But after like 5 days of the manna, you're like, all right, tried a few things on the menu with the manna. Can something new fall from the sky on Monday and then something new Tuesday? We could do tacos on Wednesday. And God's like, manna. Again, year after year. I mean, eating the same thing every day. 40 years. I can't do 40 hours of the same meal every day for a day. So we can feel like that with our salvation. It doesn't feel new anymore. And you know, man, we're in the age where you buy your technology yesterday and tomorrow it's obsolete. It's like, man, this is old. Everyone else got the new and the bigger and the smaller and the faster. I feel like it's old. When you got it, you were excited, but then like a day went by. Okay, I want to encourage you. If you're feeling like this, you've experienced newness a while ago, been a Christian a long time, A, you're still here. I admire your fight. You have persevered, and that's a victory in God's eyes. So that's A. B, you are fine wine. The best part of your story hasn't happened yet. Drink a wine too early, too young, it's not that good. Gotta wait a little bit. Let it mature. It's better that way. That's who you are. You're fine wine. See, God says he takes our heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh. It's time to be humble and get the help you need to feel the newness of your faith again. Challenge you again. You can turn it around. And don't forget, we need you. The more mature among us, we need you bad. All right, new folks coming in. We need the mature folks to help the new folks. We need a balance here, okay? Yeah. Family isn't family without all the parts. So maybe you're feeling like that old crustacean and out on the edges and the margins and I'm not really in a small group and I sort of do my own thing. No one really needs me. Not true. Lie from Satan. We need you. Now, maybe people haven't done a great job telling you that we need you. Well, I'm saying on the behalf of the whole church right now, we need you. We need your spirituality. We need your skills. We need your story. We need your sacrifice. We need to know that people can go for the distance and say, I'm still here despite the pain. So that's for you. All right. For those who are here on a quest to get right with God, studying the Bible, navigating forward, wanting a restoration of your soul, let me encourage you. A, you're here. That's very impressive. I'll tell you why. You had the humility and bravery to go to a church in an age and in a city where it's not that cool to go to church. So good job. Wow. You're brave. You're courageous. B, you're actually in luck. You found a really good one. If I do say so myself, you're welcome. There are a bunch of folks here, okay? Not on the stage right now. Bunch of folks that are trained in the underground arts of Bible study. All right? Underground. Not many people know. Total ninja style, all right? So these guys are trained. You say, well, do they work for the church? All these? No. They're ambassadors of Jesus. They have been working, digging into the scriptures. They are trained, ready to go. And not only that, even better, they're real, they're down to earth, they're kind, and they're ready to help you as someone helped them. C, you're in for the time of your life. Being a follower of Jesus, saying goodbye to your old crazy, the toxic relationships, the insecurities, the lostness, that junk haunts you. Sometimes it's there, but you don't want to talk about it. Okay, saying goodbye to that and saying hello to the newness of Christ, it's a blast. All right, when that stuff's in your rear view, it is amazing. No regrets. No looking over your shoulder, trying to weave the lies together to make sure everyone's appeased. Like, that is old. You get to be new. I have way too much fun being a Christian. I don't think it should be allowed. Someone had visited from one of our sister congregations a couple months ago. She came up to me afterward, and she was serious. She goes, you're just having too much fun here. So, oh, okay. She kind of grinned a little bit. I was like, are you playing around with me? And she's like, no, but seriously, it's, you know, you got to be serious, you know. I'm like, sorry, I just have too much fun being a Christian. I don't know. I don't know how to contain it. So, sorry if you're watching. Now, I'll tell you this, it's a roller coaster of faith stretching like Gumby, mind-blowing divine adventure. But I would never trade it in the world for the biggest paycheck, best party, or most prestigious position. No way. So that's for those who are on your quest to get right with the Lord. Let me close with a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I hope it is a happy new year, but not because of circumstance, but because of what's in your heart. In the New Living Translation in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7 through 12, check this out. It says, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel couldn't even bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be what? Very bold. Very bold. I pray we can be very bold in 2018. You know, Israel thought the old way was glorious. God said that was nothing. But they had to wait 750 years for something new to happen. Their descendants got to see it, and now we get to see it. The power of changed souls, from darkness to light, from lost to found, from guilty to forgiven, from regret to redeemed. That's what we get. So let's be the people talking about our amazing church at work to our bosses. Who knows who's listening? Let's talk to the folks in the locker room with discretion. With discretion. And yes, people are going to holler at each other, but God's holler is much louder. And don't get discouraged when people try to shut you out on a train or wherever you are. God's working on their hearts. So don't lose heart. Don't give in and don't give up. Let this year be a year of growth, a lush, watery river in our heart, blossoming the fruits of the Spirit, but also a soaked highway of baptisms, people getting to know God, and with the fruit of dozens of heaven-bound souls headed up with us. This is a new year, but remember this, every single day is new in Christ. You're welcome. Let's pray. God in heaven, we yearn for something new. We feel like things get old real quick. We have short attention spans. Spiritually, we have short attention spans. Things inspire us. Even today, Father, we're inspired for moments, maybe even minutes. But then in the next few hours, we feel tempted that the inspiration will fade. God, we ask that you will renew our hearts right now, the beginning of a new year. Father, help us to remember that at the center of this amazing story is your Son. That through him and the Holy Spirit, you poured out your love and your plan of salvation for the whole world to know. Thank you for making things new in our day. Can't imagine the frustration of having to wait generations upon generations. God, thank you that we live in this generation, that we can know salvation so intimately in a connection with you. God, help us to remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And as we take the communion right now and remember him, Father, help us also to remember that he lived every day new. He knew what was coming. He still lived it new. Help us to imitate that heart, imitate that humility, imitate that sacrifice. We love you, and we thank you in advance for this year of growth, 2018. In Jesus' name, amen.